Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Quantum Connection by Travis S. Taylor. Narrated by Brian Holden. Chapter 1. I just barely ducked the knife that was thrown at me by her, my nemesis, Jackie Zizi. I responded by slipping left, crouching, and leaping at her with all my strength focused on taking out her helmet laser. I was nowhere near quick enough, because she burned off my left hand with a full second to spare. Although it vibrated and I could feel the light shock, I tried not to let it stop me from pressing the attack. With the momentum in the fight that I had gained by the lunge, there was a chance, a good one, I hoped, that I could take her now. I managed to wrap my hands, or hand and stump, around her backpack power supply, and then I ripped it right off her armor. Sparks flew everywhere, and there was a cool-looking array of secondary explosions as I rolled off her back to the side. Jackie Zizi was too damned good. For a woman with such big breasts on such a small frame, damn, and the powerful sprite-like movement she had, she made it difficult to focus, and I barely managed to roll out of the way of her counterstrike. I did a backflip just in time to miss a venom-spiked boot crushing through my face. Damn it, quit watching the scenery and fight, I had to remind myself. I had been playing these gladiatorial games for years now and was undefeated. I couldn't lose now. There was no way I could lose. I tried to deepen my concentration and my hand moved as fast as I could make it. Jackie Zizi and me, Stevie M09, had been at it for hours now, maybe longer, and we both were wearing down. My back was killing me, my fingers hurt, and my right wrist ached all the way up to my shoulder. Then she made her mistake. She stepped backward while throwing an X-block with her forearm quantum shields. I figured I could get her the same way I defeated Mars Ken 44 last weekend. The quantum shields drained the power level below my secret attack's power level, so I went for it. As fast as my fingers could move, I lunged forward, then rolled to my left, then launched myself with my hydraulic jumper boots to more than 80 feet above Jackie Zizi. Then I turned down headfirst, hit my downward thrusters, and then came the secret code. Left circle, right triangle, forward, forward, right, right one, left circle, right X, left one, and then both left and right circles on both controllers. I turned myself into a pure energy being and was propelled at Jackie Zizi faster than any reflexes or secret codes I had ever heard of. But something different happened this time. Jackie Zizi wasn't just throwing a quantum X-block, but instead was completing a secret code of her own. The quantum force field amazingly shaped itself into a quantum singularity, or mini black hole. There she was in an awesome gung-fu-style fighting stance, with her hands cupped upward, holding a mini black hole over her head. The tidal forces were so great that the hair protruding from beneath her helmet, as well as her mammoth CGI boobs, pointed upward and toward the event horizon. Material from all around the realm was being sucked into the singularity, except for Jackie Zizi, who stood there basically unaffected. Baffled, I tried everything I knew to steer my new energy form away from the black hole, but it was far too late. I was sucked into the timeless abyss from which there was no known escape forever. I became a pencil-thin beam and then a single ray-thin beam of light, and finally, my visor blinked to totally black. I flipped up the visor and looked at the big screen just in time to see her standing there, triumphantly and maniacally laughing. The black hole had dissipated, and the big screen now displayed in gigantic font, Jackie Zizi wins. Shit! I cursed my controllers, my puppy, and I kicked my 40-ounce beer bottle over. I stood up and stretched for the few seconds I would have while the game logged off to the waiting room. I slipped my visor and headphones off, rolled my neck left and then right, and then I realized. Phew, puppy, either you or I stink, and one of us needs a bath. It was probably both of us, since I had been sweating profusely while fighting Jackie Zizi for the past few hours, and puppies always need a bath. I tugged on the little fellow's ear and told him he was a good boy. I had never been defeated at any of the Realm World competitions, especially not at the Gladiator sequence, ever. And damn it, this Jackie Zizi that I met yesterday in the Realms Tavern had beaten me at everything. I stumbled over a pile of cereal boxes on my way to the fridge and pulled out another 40 ounces. Unfortunately, I was out of cereal, so I had to settle for corn chips. The waiting room door popped on the screen, and a video square with Jackie Zizi's computer likeness standing there smiling back at me opened.
Got you again, but man, that was the longest it has ever taken me to beat a sequencer. You're good.
She put her hands on her hips and winked while that pleasantly, if not freakishly, disproportionate body jiggled up and down. Where the hell, I finished off a sip of beer and belched, did that mini black hole thing come from? I was comfortable speaking to such an attractive image since I knew she was seeing my 6'2" chiseled granite washboard abs and giant muscles image. After all, I am a sequencer. Although, come to think of it, that belch probably wasn't cool. And, of course, my own personal appearance of 6'1" and 240 pounds, all fat, was well hidden behind the video display.
You liked that, did you?
Jackie Zizi's boobs wiggled with every movement she made. It was distracting, a good fighting strategy, especially since she undoubtedly knew that most of her opponents would be single and male and hard up.
I call it ZZ's hole.
Her video likeness laughed. Cute, but effective. Who wrote the code, and have you sold it yet?
I wrote the code, StevieM09. You want to buy a copy? That'll be 7,600 euros.
Her CGI likeness held out its left hand, palm up, and then winked at me. How much is that American? I asked.
Oh, yeah. I've been in Ramstein so long I almost speak German now. That's about 1.2 times in U.S. You want it?
Shit, I couldn't afford it. How did you get so good? I stroked my belly and propped the corn chip bowl on it with my left hand while reaching for my beer with my right hand. The picture-in-picture news alert icon blinked on in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. I ignored it for now. Jackie Zizi chimed back in.
Oh, that. My dad works for Realmsoft Europe. I write code for them in the summer when school is out.
I see. No, I don't see. What do you mean? When school's out? How old are you? I had a bad feeling about this.
I'm 14.
How did you get into the realm? It's for adults only. I thought of some of the more adult worlds within the realm, like Orgy World, and it spooked me a bit. Kids just shouldn't be in there.
How do you think I can write the code for Realmsoft if I can't get in the realm, stupid?
That last was more of an insult than a question. Her video likeness stuck out her tongue at me and put her hands on her hips. I felt bad about noticing the boob wiggles this time. But you shouldn't be in here, Jackie Zizi, I pleaded.
Oh, poo. You're a prude just like my mom. Don't worry, mother. I have a special access that just lets me into the gamer-level worlds.
Again, the wiggles.
Jackie Zizi, that is impossible.
You know as well as I do that once you open the door to the realm, there are no doors that can't be opened. You're in the realm, for Christ's sake. I shook my head and then stuffed a handful of chips in my mouth.
Yeah, I know. This is a new experimental access with a worm attached to it. If you go to certain places, the worm starts to eat you. I'm trying to figure out how to beat it for my dad. If I can't beat it, the realm will no longer be an adult.
She stopped talking, and her likeness vanished from the screen. Jackie Zizi, are you there? No response. Jackie Zizi. Jackie, are you online? Nothing. Oh, well, I thought she must have somehow gotten disconnected, turned off, or something. I had heard of that happening, but had never seen it. How about that, I told Lazarus, the puppy. Kids in the realm. Bad enough they're in the framework, but the realm. Weird stuff, huh? Yeah, that's right. You're a good puppy. I tugged on Lazarus's left ear and scratched his neck. The little guy looked up at me with sad little 2-month-old puppy dog eyes. My mom and dad had given him to me recently, as he was a pup from the last litter of the family dog, Molly. They had kept a family dog from the same genetic line since I was a kid. It was sort of a tradition. The news alert icon had continued to blink since I lost contact with Jackie Zizi, but rather than worry about it, I decided that I was going to get another beer. Upon arrival at the fridge, I realized that I only had 1.40 left. The horror.
Oh,
God, Lazarus, we're out of beer. Go to the store and fetch some, boy. Good boy.
Lazarus just lay there, chewing on his squeaky toy, and didn't respond other than his ears propping up at the sound of his name. Then I remembered where I had heard of the framework connections being disrupted. It was a few months ago when the meteor destroyed Colorado and part of Wyoming. Oh my God, I thought. I frantically grabbed the remote and opened up the news alert icon on the TV, afraid of what I might see. Let's just see what the talking heads have to say.
Again, so far to our knowledge, there have been huge explosions, or perhaps impacts, near Los Angeles and off the coast of Cape Kennedy, Florida.
Mom and Dad? Carly? No!
We have no idea what has caused such explosions. It is possible that these are events which are similar to the one in northern Florida and the catastrophic impact in Colorado a few months ago when the meteor hit there, but we have no confirmation of that yet. Wait, just a moment. My God. There has been another impact or explosion or whatever it is in Europe. It seems to be centered near Ramstein, Germany.
I watched television for the next 14 days straight, only going out for food, puppy treats, and beer, but immediately returning home as quickly as possible. I was numbed by the total destruction and loss of countless millions of lives around the world that evening. The meteors impacted all around the globe, in China, Russia, North Korea, Germany, California, and Florida. I never heard from poor little Jackie Zizi again. That broke my heart. On top of that, I'm from Bakersfield, California, which is just about 50 miles north of Los Angeles. My entire list of living relatives that I know about were all gone. Everybody I could connect with or count on as family were vaporized in an instant. My high school was gone, and probably most of my high school chums. There would be little reason for a 10-year reunion. My mom and dad and my little sister Carly were gone. The house that I had known as home all of my life. Gone. Sure, I lived in Dayton now, but home was still Bakersfield. Home was still where Mom and Dad and Carly lived. Home was still where we had raised generations of our family dogs since I was little. Home was still where I built the tree fort in the backyard with my buddies when I was 9. Home was still where I went every holiday and vacation. But now, it was gone. All gone. I missed work for 2 weeks straight, and I sure as hell didn't make it to any of my college classes. In fact, I wouldn't make it back to college for a long time, and I got fired from that job. Oh well, who needs it? The world just nearly got destroyed, man. And I was alone. Just Lazarus and me.
Chapter 2
Things were okay for about 2 weeks after the rain, which is what the Day of Meteors had become known as on the framework. But then came the horrible hypercanes, which, as the guy on the Weather Channel explained, were super-duper hurricanes. The country-sized storms were spawned off from the meteor impacts. One storm, the size of Brazil, pounded the South Pacific and stalled in the ocean, churning it up and making it impassable by air or sea for more than a month. The megastorm eventually turned and wreaked havoc on Australia and New Zealand. The other major hypercane system spun up below the equator, just above South America. It plowed through Buenos Aires and bounced along the coastline, moving southward. It churned across the Atlantic and cut a path across the Congo, then on to India before it died out. That storm killed hundreds of thousands. A couple of large hurricanes and hundreds of tornadoes had plagued North America and Russia since the rain, but after about a month, the weather began to settle down. It took about all of that month for me to get over my depressed funk or state of disrepair or whatever it was. I would get so depressed that I would block out hours of time where I had just sat there and cried. And sometimes I didn't even remember the hours at a time depression when it would pass. I went to several different shrinks for help. They ran tests on me and did brain scans, and everything came out normal. It was odd to me that the rest of the world went on about its business and was only fazed slightly by the rain. After the rain, our society didn't fall apart at all, but for some reason, I seemed to have. People in general went on about their business while I fell down into a pit of something akin to despair.
Buy a bunch of these expensive drugs, the shrinks tell me. They're the only cure. Damned head shrinkers. So I take the drugs, but the only way I seem to survive within my depression and get my mind into some sort of useful mode is to replay the sequence against Jackie Zizi and attempt to reverse engineer her mini black hole. You see, the Internet 2, or the framework, as Realm citizens call it, enabled RealmSoft to develop a virtual world with real laws of physics and nature and real ups and downs. Of course, the developers of the Realm wouldn't tell anybody what the laws were, which is part of what makes it so interesting. Part of the fun of the Realm adventure is to try and discover its laws. This is done by creating a virtual persona, such as mine, Stevie M09, and living and having adventures in the various worlds of the Realm. As you learn more and more about the Realm, you become more powerful and can manipulate things within it more readily. The real wizards in there play the gladiator sequence and try to show off their power. If you kill a sequencer, you get the secrets of the Realm that that sequencer has discovered. If you're lucky enough and you stumble across a node, you can upload your own code into the virtual reality and get a royalty for any time it is used. I had done this with my code for the energy being SM09, just as Jackie Zizi had obviously done with Zizi's hole. These were two subroutines that were not of the Realm. The problem is that if you didn't know where the secret code was hidden and the secret button sequence to activate it, you couldn't use it. Jackie Zizi had died before ever selling the button sequence to any other sequencers, so I thought I could recreate it now that I had seen it. Me? I am a code writer by choice and had been completing my bachelor's degree in computer science at the University of Dayton in Ohio when the meteors fell. How'd I get to Ohio from California, you ask? Well, when I was in high school, back in Bakersfield, before it was destroyed, I wrote my own operating system. I was trying to get my own game designs into the mainstream, but thought that the code requirements were clunky. So I created an operating system that was much more stable and more precisely efficient than any other codes I knew of at the time. At the request of my science teacher, I entered it into the school's science fair. I won at school level, then at state, and then won my division at the International Science and Engineering Fair, or ISEF, as we called it. Plus, I got an honorable mention overall. I lost to a particle accelerator, an optical computer, some bioluminescence thing, and a wrong solution to Fermat's last theorem. As a special award, I received a full tuition scholarship for both the University of Alabama in Huntsville and the University of Dayton. Of course, as a California state citizen, I could have gone to school in California for free, but my parents were way overprotective, and I was afraid if I stayed in state that they would continuously be checking in on me. What college kid wants that? So I didn't want to stay home, and I sure didn't want to live in a hick town in Alabama, so I chose Dayton. At least they have cool air shows there. My freshman year, I got a cooperative education job working for a local company that made wireless data routers and switching hubs. I learned a lot about hardware, encryption, and code writing to drive hardware back then. Then the framework opened up, and not long after that, the Realm was invented. Right off the bat, I found a small node and uploaded some tidbits that earned me a little extra cash to help pay for my apartment, food, and beer. And when I didn't earn enough from my job, the Realm, and my scholarship, I took out a student loan. Oh, did I forget to explain that the harder to find a node is, the more bandwidth you're allowed to upload with? You can use a node as often as you like once you know how to find and access it, but it costs about $15 per second to upload data. I think this was RealmSoft's way of encouraging code writers to write efficient code and to spend hours in there looking for bigger nodes. It's a great racket. A monthly subscription to the Realm costs about $50 for 40 hours, or $75 for unlimited access. What about viruses? There is rumored to be a world where all the viruses get stored and mutated, but it makes no sense to me why they would keep them. My guess is they use some sort of antivirus agent to take care of the problem. So anyway, I had tried to sequence a few times since the rain, but knowing I would never see anyone I cared about took the real life out of me, and knowing that I would never get the chance to play ZZ again just took the wind from my virtual sails. On the other hand, I did need money to live on, since I dropped out of school, or I should say, took a break, lest the student loan collectors come calling, and the money I make at the video game rental and repair store that I work at now just doesn't pay the bills. My thinking was that if I spent all my time trying to reverse engineer ZZ's hole, I could input it into the realm through the secret node I found on planet Zeos and win a few sequences with it. Then I could sell it for big bucks to the other sequencers. My energy being SM09 was bringing about $23,000 a year, after taxes, on royalties, so I figured ZZ's hole would make much more than that. Then I could quit that damn video store. I was having no luck at all with it. 2 years passed, and I was still getting nowhere. I replayed the recording of the video sequence over and over and over to no avail. I tried testing in my own test realm the mini black hole codes I developed, but test pilot sequencer STM987 had failed, and STM988 was about to give it a try, if I could figure out why STM987 didn't work, that is. That Jackie ZZ, whoever she was, must have been a coding genius. Either that, or she had some insight from her father at RealmSoft Europe. Make a short story long, I was having no luck, and it was time to go to work. "Lazarus, buddy," I stroked his chin, "I gotta go pay the bills," I told him. He had grown into quite the companion. As a bonus, I didn't have to vacuum anymore, since Lazarus was a vacuum himself. If it could be swallowed, he would eat it. I tossed him a smelly doggy bacon treat and made my way out the door. The weather was a bit crummy, even for summer in Dayton. The sky was hazy and grayer than blue, and the sun was very red, not yellowish-orange like it used to be, and it was only about 90 degrees and muggy as hell. We were supposed to have bad storms later, the kind that used to only occur in Tornado Alley. Now, they happened everywhere. The word inside the realm was that the dust and excess thermal energy that was thrown into the atmosphere from the rain was the culprit. Makes sense to me, but I'm no atmospheric scientist. Just as I pulled into the parking lot of VR's VR World, it started raining, hard. Good thing I didn't bring an umbrella. Shit, I told my 2011 Cutlass, which in just 2 weeks would have its 10th birthday. The Cutlass didn't seem to care, although it choked and tried not to cease combustion when I turned off the ignition switch. I rushed to the door of VR's, getting soaked from head to toe since rushing isn't really my forte.
"You're right on time, Mr. Montana. Good for you," the 18-year-old blue-haired punk who was my boss pointed out as he looked up from the television. He had threatened to fire me if I was late one more time, but it was just a hollow threat, since he knew that nobody could repair the game systems or draw the sequencers into the shop like me. Besides, he seemed enthralled by what was on the flat screen. "Hi, Robert," I cursed other things under my breath at him, but smiled on the surface. I was 7 years his senior, for damn's sake. "Anything new this morning?" I settled in to my morning caffeine and sugar fix and surveyed my workbench.
"Yeah, have you seen this yet?" he asked.
"Seen what?"
"A huge meteor has impacted Neptune, and astronomers had no idea that it was coming." He pointed to the screen, and there was a James Webb Space Telescope image of the planet Neptune with a huge impact plume flowing upward from the planet.
"Do they think we're in any danger?" I was beginning to feel nervous.
"Nah, don't worry about it. They're saying that it's way out of our orbit, and we have nothing to fear." Robert turned back to the television. "Looks neat, though."
"I guess. Good thing we're safe.
So, anything new with work stuff?"
"Oh, yeah. This guy came in last night just before closing with this ancient console game. He said it wouldn't work and that he needed it fixed by 3 weeks from tomorrow."
"Oh, guess that would be 3 weeks from today. He also said to call him if it was going to cost more than $300.
Robert pointed at a box full of console, controllers, cables, and a few compact discs.
"It's in that box. I've never seen one of those things before. It must be 30 years old.
I looked into the box and saw a game system that they quit making in the late 90s. That's right, last millennium, I whistled.
"Man, they sure don't make them like this anymore."
I swiped off a space on my workbench, scratched my stomach reflexively, and then emptied the box out onto the bench in front of me.
"First things first," I said to it. "Let's plug you up and see what happens." After fiddling with the ancient video game console for about 15 minutes, it was obvious that no power was getting to any of the output cables. No video signal was produced, no voltages on the controller ports, and no signals at the memory card slot. The disc didn't spin, and the light wouldn't come on either. The thing was as old as I was. I laughed about that. Laughing was good. I didn't do enough of it anymore. "The power supply is bad, at least," I said. "You have to talk to yourself when you're working on stuff." I started with the basic 6 steps for repair of a game console power supply. Even ancient ones must abide by the repair rules. Simple electronics basics. 1. Open up the game console. This may require a screwdriver, star wrench, or Allen wrench. 2. Get out your multimeter, make sure you have good batteries in it, and check all fuses. Replace any bad ones. 3. Plug in your game console, being careful not to touch any open component connections. 4. Check the voltages everywhere first to see where it stops. If there is no power leaving the power supply, then that's a good sign the power supply unit is bad. 5. Search through the framework for hours to find the voltage test points and proper voltages for the particular game system. 6. Since you've proven that the power supply unit is bad, you have to measure the test point voltages to see where there is something wrong in the power supply. There it was on about the 3rd or 4th point I tested. I got the wrong voltage. Instead of 45 volts AC, I got 13, so I backed up from that point and found a shorted capacitor. I desoldered it and replaced it. Then the test voltage read 23 volts AC, so something was still not right. After further inspection, I realized that I had read the capacitor wrong and put the wrong-sized capacitor back into the board, so I desoldered that cap and replaced it. Bingo! 45 volts. Excitement. There was another emotion I hadn't had much of lately. I repeated the 6 steps again and found that I now had a good and working power supply unit in the game console. Now the little green light came on, and the compact disc began to spin up, but for some reason the system wouldn't read a disc. My guess was that the laser was either out of alignment or the voltage to it was low. I adjusted the alignment screws and had no luck with that, so I checked the voltage trim pots on the motherboard by the laser's ribbon cable. I tested both pots, the F-bias and the F-gain, and neither one of them were where they should be. I monkeyed around with them for a bit, and then, bang, I had a video game playing. Before I closed it back up, I dusted it off with an airbrush and also used some isopropyl alcohol and a cotton swab to clean the lens. All in all, it was a pretty easy fix. Then, just to be safe, I decided to play the games for a bit to make sure the system would be stable over time. After a while of shooting zombies, the game froze up, a common symptom. The zombies had nothing to do with it. It was the cooling fan not working properly. Without the fan blowing right, the chips on the motherboard were overheating. The fan was getting power, so it was just an old or bad fan. My money was on old. The fan was lucky. How many people didn't get to grow old? I muttered to myself. I rummaged around in my junk piles until I found a fan that would suffice. It wasn't exactly the same size and needed half the voltage, which was nothing a little silicone rubber sealant and a twice voltage divider wouldn't fix. This time I killed zombies for 2 hours and never had a problem. Then I decided to play all the games that were brought in with the system. There were the old standard compact discs, and all of them were scratched and dirty. I cleaned them and resurfaced them, and most of them worked. One of them, on the other hand, wouldn't. The disc for a killer zombie game had a crack all the way through in 3 places. I gently cleaned it, dried it, and then resurfaced it, hoping that the clear coat would seal off the crack enough for the game to work. It didn't. Again, back to the framework, surfing for a few hours for a replacement. Unfortunately, there were none left out there anywhere in the world. The game must have been unpopular and not sold many, or very popular, and nobody was giving it up. I had other things to do at work that day, so I took a break from the game repair until later that evening. I decided to take the thing home with me and play around with it for a few nights on my own time. I had more resources at home than at the rental and repair store. After work, I packed up the console, the games, and all the myriad cabling and controllers and threw them in the back seat of the classic Cutlass. Fortunately, the rain had stopped and the weather had cleared up to something similar to pre-rain weather, at least for now. On the way home, I stopped at the grocery store. Lazarus was out of beer and I was out of dog food. He shouldn't drink so much. I also grabbed some more chips, cereal, ramen noodles, frozen pizzas, and toilet paper.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?